From the latest hip-hop beats to social issues that cripple the black community, all from the perspective of a young, strong black woman.
A strong black woman.
And now your host, Rita.
Welcome back, everyone, for another episode of According to RP on WJMS Radio, powered by Black Ivy Media. It's your girl, Rita Pierre, your host. And as always, I hope you guys are striving, thriving, and surviving in these corona-infested streets. So this week, we have a very special episode with a very special guest by the name of Samuel Pierre. We are going to be talking about Haiti. I know many of you are aware of the tragedy that struck Haiti about a week and a half ago. The president of Haiti, the head of state, Jovenel Moïse, was assassinated. And from then on, there has just been reporting after reporting with respect to who done it, who possibly assassinated the president. But more importantly, there's been a lot of coverage with respect to the nation as it stands. Where does Haiti go from here? And a lot of American Haitians, you know, Parisian Haitians, Canadian Haitians, the Haitian diaspora as a whole, a lot of us are asking, you know, where do we fit into this conversation? How can we help? How can we lend our voice in a way that is respectful, right? In a way that will actually be of service. So we have Samuel and Pierre today, who is a Haitian American, who is a Haitian American business owner, and who's going to talk about some of the things that are going on in Haiti and lend some advice as to how we, the diaspora, can, you know, approach Haiti in a time like this. So you definitely want to keep it locked. So before we get into the meat of the show, you know, we have our preliminaries. So it is now time for the Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
May I have the definition?
What does skeet mean?
What's on fleek?
Can you use it in a sentence?
I've been on fleek to lit.
And it's going to be lit.
Major key.
It's time for the Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week.
So this week's Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week is Earth Strong. Earth Strong, the number of years you've been going strong on this earth. You came to earth strong enough to survive all your years, in quotes, birthday. For example, have a blessed Earth Strong. So apparently people are not wishing people happy birthday anymore. Apparently the new way of wishing happy birthday, I guess maybe the more woke way of wishing happy birthday, is have a blessed Earth Strong. Not sure if I'll actually be using this particular phrase, but in any event, that is the Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week. So it is now time for our Haitian Creole word or phrase of the week. So the Haitian Creole word or phrase of the week is bambouche. So bambouche is actually one of those words that's also a French word, right? So there are a lot of Haitian Creole phrases and words that are strictly Haitian Creole. But because Haitian Creole is based heavily on the French language, there will be a lot of words that are actually true French words that are just used in everyday Haitian Creole lingo, right? So this week I posted an article on According to RP with respect to LA County now requiring everyone to be masked, whether you're vaccinated or not. And I had used the word bambouche in the caption, and people were like, bambouche? What is bambouche? So I'm going to define it today. So bambouche is like to parade, to saunter, to be in these streets, to be partying. So when a Haitian is like, oh, ou fin bambouche? Like, are you done partying? Are you done parading yourself? Are you done being in these streets? Is the fun time over? that's essentially bumboshe. That's the bumbosh, the fun time, right? The being out here. So when I referred to LA County in the post, I was saying that LA is telling its people the bumbosh is over. The party is over. The fun time is over. The parading is over. Now we got to get back to what's, you know, at hand is these masks, right? So bumbosh is the Haitian Creole word or phrase of the week. So now it's time for one of my favorite sections of this show. It is now time for the big up of the week. Watch it. And you feel big up, big up. All of the woman them big up, big up. All of the girl them big up, big up. All of the woman them big up, big up. What? So this week's big up of the week goes to the owners of the Black Dragon Chinese food restaurant in Capitol Hill, Maryland. So this particular restaurant has gotten a lot of coverage over the last couple, the last week or two weeks, with respect to the fact that they are a Black-owned Chinese food restaurant. And those of us who live in the Northeast area where Chinese food was part of your upbringing, you know that Chinese food was usually served by Chinese people in Chinese-owned restaurants. And Black people frequent Chinese restaurants at a very, very high rate, right? But here we have a Black family, Black couple, who actually decided that they were going to open and operate a Chinese food restaurant. And I believe one of the items on the menu, which I wish I ate chicken and I would have tried, is General Mo's chicken as opposed to General So's chicken. Now, a lot of people had some mixed feelings about this. There are many who say that why are Black people starting Chinese restaurants? Why don't they start more African restaurants or I guess Black cuisine restaurants? But I mean, why not, right? The Asian community, the white community, pretty much every community has been appropriating Black people for God knows how long. We're talking about food here, right? And I'm pretty sure that this Black owned business has definitely put a twist to what many of us know to be General So's chicken, right? I think that we need to support our people when they are doing amazing things. We eat, a lot of us love Chinese food. I love Chinese food. And to be quite honest, I would love to eat Chinese food from a Black owned restaurant, right? I don't really care really where the food comes from, as long as it's good food, it's quality food. But I think that if our people are throwing in their hats in other rings, why not support them? Why criticize them and say, you know, why do they have to do Chinese food? We eat Chinese food. It is a cuisine, right? It does not need to be prepared by Chinese people for it to be amazing. So I definitely am looking forward to the day that I go to Capitol Hill, Maryland. And I'm hoping that, you know, they have some maybe vegan options or vegetarian options on their menu that I can try. But I definitely support this move. I was really, really happy to see it. And I hope that you guys can, you know, be able to show some love and support them, whether it's actually frequenting the restaurant or just helping spread the news that we have a Black-owned Chinese restaurant. Now, with every high, you guys know that there is a low. And this week, Womp Womp of the Week, it pains me that this is even my Womp Womp of the Week. But guys, Juvenile and Manny Fresh are back at it again. If you have not heard their recent remix to Back That Ass Up, please go to YouTube. I'm sure the video lies in YouTube. Apparently, they have teamed up with, I don't know if it's the CDC, the World Health Organization, or Joe Biden to come up with a remix to Back That Ass Up, which is called Vax That Ass Up, in which they are essentially raising awareness and telling Black people that they need to get vaxxed and that they need to receive their vaccinations in order for them to really partake in dating 2021. I don't know. I mean, I love me some Juvenile and Manny Fresh back in the day, Cash Money for the 99-2000s. Like I was on the Manny Fresh, the Juvenile, you know, the Big Timers money train. However, I cannot support this. I understand that we want to raise awareness for the Black community to get vaccinated, right? But this is not how we do it. This is not how we do it. I mean, we can tell people of the benefits of getting vaccinated. We can, you know, there's so many different ways that you can encourage others. But I really feel like this was not the way. I mean, watching the music video, watching them just like, this was just not the way. I mean, maybe somebody out there appreciates it. But for the majority of the people that I've spoken to, they do not appreciate this PSA, right? So, I mean, I don't know where Juvenile and Manny Fresh are in relation with money, right? I don't know if times are hard for them. You know, I don't know. I haven't heard any albums drop lately. I don't know if this was just, you know, I need to feed my family type move. And if it is, you know what? Who am I to stop you from getting paid, right? By the CDC and the World Health Organization, right? Who am I to stop those checks? But I'm just not so sure that this was the move. Like now, when I hear the beat, I don't think I'm going to run to back anything up at this point. Because now I feel like the song has been compromised. I feel like they have been compromised. I just feel this just, it smells like sellout to me. Because I'm not even sure if Juvenile and Manny Fresh received their vaccinations. I'm not even sure. I don't even know if it's been confirmed that they did. So I am quite disturbed by Vax That Ass Up, the remix. I think that we need to do better as a people. I think that, you know, I understand meeting the people where they are, but I don't think the people are there. I don't think the people are where Manny Fresh and Juvenile think they are, at least not in 2021. Either way, that was the Womp Bump of the week, and we are moving on to the meat of the show. All right, everyone, I'm here with my very special guest, Samuel Pierre. Samuel, please say hello.
Hello, everybody. Hello. Thank you so much, Rita, for having me on the show again. I really appreciate being here.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Yes, this is not the first time that you've made an appearance on this show. So,
absolutely.
Samuel, for those who were not, you know, in attendance the last time you were on this show, could you please just tell us a little bit about who you are, where you're from, and what you do?
My name is Sam Pierre. I am the executive director of the Haitian American Caucus. We are a community development nonprofit organization. We're international, so we're here in the United States and in Haiti. In Haiti, we occupy about 5 acres of land, encompassing our 3 schools, elementary, middle school, and junior, and high school, rather. And we have community programs, community center. And as of recent, we have a, we just built a safe home for women who were victims of sexual violence or what do they call that? Sexual predatory stuff. So I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to be on the show. And I'm very lucky to have made it back on the show.
Yes, because many have not. Anywho, so today's conversation is really based on the recent happenings in Haiti. I know that you are very well aware of what recently happened. As of this past Wednesday, the president of Haiti, Jovenel Moïse, was assassinated in his home. And since then, it's been nothing but, you know, turmoil, really, right? Like, like we can't stop talking about it. And every second there is a piece of news, you know, giving us some sort of update or sharing some sort of information. So I think that this particular news of the assassination has consumed, at least for the most part, Haitian American and people of Haitian descent's lives since Wednesday.
Right.
You know, I mean, my mom and I, there's certain things that we bond over, and apparently this is it, you know, where she's calling me like every like 15 minutes about new updates. I usually don't communicate with her on WhatsApp because I don't want to encourage this behavior. But, you know, but since this has happened, there's been much more WhatsApp conversations happening because we're like sharing information back and forth. I mean, for me, as somebody who's living in America, I mean, this is very, very troubling, obviously. But I wanted to kind of get your sentiments on it. Again, there's a lot of different scenarios, a lot of different stories, a lot of different points of view that have been shared over the course of not even a week with respect to, obviously, the assassination, you know, who done it, but more so, you know, the country as a whole, right? Where do we go from here? The political, you know, status of the country, you know, people are now back to this idea of, oh man, I don't know if Haiti's a place that I can go to anymore, because if the president could not be protected, you know, who am I? So, you know, people are talking about no longer investing in Haiti. So there's a lot of different conversations that are happening. But I wanted to kind of get a take from you as somebody who is actively, you know, working in Haiti, doing business in Haiti. And of course, you know, you are of Haitian descent, you're Haitian American. What are your thoughts regarding what's currently happening right now?
So, I mean, you know, first and foremost, condolences to the Jovenel family. You know, all the kids, the cousins, you know, the relatives, and we, you know, our prayers are with his wife, and hopes that she gets a speedy recovery. It's a tragedy that should never happen. A head of state of any country, right, should never be assassinated. You know, we may have differences in opinions. We might not like what each other has to say, but a life is a life, and we should value life, right? So I want to start with that. But outside of that, I mean, it's just there's a lot of things happening. There's a lot of things at play that's behind the scenes that we're just not privy to, right, as the general public. There's a lot of conversations about, and it's going to come out as well, as President Jovenel really trying to be a progressive president in a country where being a progressive is almost, well, not almost, because he was assassinated. Being a progressive is deadly, you know. And he had a lot of progressive policies, and he had a progressive agenda. And, you know, he really didn't like, for those who were close to him, they would tell you he really hated the stigma of corruption, right? A lot of people don't realize is that President Jovenel was not a seasoned politician, right? So he was a farmer that did very well in the banana business. You know, and just like in any other industry, when you make money, when you do well, you start to venture off into other industries or other careers. And so he's not a career politician, which means he doesn't, there's a lot of things he just didn't understand when it comes to the standard operating procedure of business done in Haiti. So for him, as someone coming out of the private sector, coming into government, there was just a lot of things that he just didn't understand. He didn't understand why certain contracts were given to certain people. He didn't understand why there was no competition, right? Why there would only be one vendor that provided one service for the entire country, right? So he would question these things. And they really tried to like train him to understand that, no. This is not how things work in this country, right? And he was against it. He was anti-piracy. He was anti-corruption. And he hated the stigma. And he felt that he was, you know, ordained to be the president that would change the stigma of corruption. So, you know, if you speak to a lot of people that are close to him or his friends, they would say this was inevitable because he was very vocal about the fact that he was under his administration. He would not fall victim to corruption. And we even see that in the fact that he refused to leave. Right. The Constitution clearly stated that, you know, he has to do his 5 years as president. Right. So he did not complete his 5-year term. So he was very adamant about the fact that he's not leaving until he completes his 5-year term, right? Which means that he wanted to stick to the constitution of Haiti, and despite the overwhelming pressures that he was receiving. So these are the things that show you, you know, the path that he was headed, you know? Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, he was not in the majority, right? So majority wins, you know? So, you know, there was a lot of forces that just, you know, you're going up against a 200-year-old monster, right? Mm-hmm. So, it just wasn't easy, and it's very unfortunate what happened to him. I mean, to your point about Haitian Americans in America, you know, feeling scared or not wanting to go back to Haiti or feeling like they're not protected. You know, if the president can't be protected, how can I be protected? What I would say to that is the president was involved in dealings that you may not be involved in, right? One of the things I say to people, and they and some people get offended when I say it, but it's, the truth is, there are some neighborhoods in New York City that's more dangerous than Haiti. Straight up. There's some neighborhoods in New York City right now that I'll probably feel uncomfortable in. And there's towns in Haiti that people would think are very dangerous that I find myself at home. So I don't think it's a matter of in a specific area. I think crime is singular, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think crime is something that happens in groups, right? So I don't think people should be scared to invest in Haiti, you know. Au contraire, I think people should be more willing to invest in Haiti now more than ever, because there's going to be new leadership, it's going to be a new regime, it's going to be new people that are going to try to do some progress, right? Because we hit the rock bottom right now, right? We're at the bottom. It can't get any worse than this. We lost our president, right?
Are we sure? Because there's a lot of back and forth, even with the way that the process is supposed to move forward, right? Like, are we sure that the next regime is going to be the one that's going to set things in motion? I mean, from what I understand.
Oh, no. Mm-hmm. It's not about whether the next regime is going to be progressive or not. It's a matter of that there's going to be a next regime, right? So, no, the fact that there's a new regime, they're going to have to do something new. I'm not saying that they're going to be non-corrupt. They probably will still be corrupt. But the point is they have to do something new. That's what I'm saying. Since they have to do something new, that now is an opportunity for people to, you know, you get what I'm trying to say? Like, it's going to be new people who are going to be under the gun and going to be watched. So they have to do something. Even if it's one street that they have to clean, they got to do something new. Right. To be able to say, hey, we did something new. So, you know, for people who are interested in like Haiti and X, Y, and Z, I think right now, believe it or not, is the time to really look at Haiti as a place to invest or to buy property or to go over there and to really, you know, try to help rebuild the country. Because, you know what I mean? Like the new person is going to say, oh, I'm here now. Trust me. I know what I'm doing. I can make it happen. X, Y, and Z.
But what if the new person is an old person that's coming back again?
No, absolutely. That can happen. But what I'm saying to you is that person has to do something new. But it's not about the person, the human. No, they do because, okay, let me explain to you like this. Right?
The reason I'm asking is because I think a lot of people who are familiar with how, you know, Haitian politics work and how people are really selected as opposed to elected, you know, a lot of them are skeptical, right? So I'm just speaking more so in general terms. They're skeptical. You know, for example, we've heard reports that Sweet Mickey is running for president again, or he has plans to run for president again. You know, he did his 4 years. He left. Jovenel was his pick. He brought, right. That was his man, right? Brought him in, many say, to be a placeholder. But, you know, that is what it is. And now Sweet Mickey again is allegedly looking to become president of Haiti once more. So many are saying, yeah, it's cool. This idea, it's ideal to say that, yeah, they're going to come back with, you know, a new game plan or a new speech or a new something. But at the end of the day, the way that, you know, families are connected, the way that, you know, things actually go down, does he really have to do something new in order, you know, like does he have to do something new, or can he just come back and do what he's been doing from before?
Right. No, agree. But let me give you an example. Joe Biden was the vice president, right, mm-hmm. of the United States of America. Before he left, Donald Trump came. He came back, right? Joe Biden doesn't have to do anything. He was the vice president before, right? But guess what? He has to do something. He has to do an infrastructure deal, right? So with Joe Biden's new infrastructure deal, it's going to be in the trillions of dollars, right? So there's going to be tons of business owners that are going to be able to participate in the Joe Biden's infrastructure deal. You get what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's the same Joe Biden who's been in the Senate for 150 years, right? Who's been in the White House. But even if he doesn't do anything else, he has to do something to show that he's trying to do something. So that infrastructure deal for $3-4 trillion, it's going to benefit the business owners, the business community, right? I don't know about everybody, like the regular ass people in the street. I don't know about everybody else, but I can tell you that business owners are going to do extremely well so with this Biden infrastructure.
So the business
owners. Yes, I'm talking about business people. Yes, people in Haiti, like they're going to have to do something. So even if Sweet Mickey comes back, he has to do something about the roads. He has to say, oh, we're going to do something to help the kids and go back to school. He's going to say something. You know what I'm trying to say? Because he has to show the business world, hey, we're open for business again. Don't worry. I understand Julian died. It was a little error or whatever. I'm here. Trust me. I'm gonna create new opportunities, X, Y, and Z. That's what I mean by that.
But how is that then in a country where only a certain amount of people actually own all the businesses, right?
Right.
And like, you know, there's only one, like you said, one vendor for water. One vendor for electricity, one vendor for gas, right? How do we, because that's where the skepticism comes in. Like all of this sounds really, really good. And maybe in a country like America, where you kind of have to show some stuff, you know, people could understand that. When we're talking about developing nations and particularly like Haiti, which I think operates a little different from, you know, other developing nations, right? That's where the skepticism is. Like, okay, he comes in, you know, he gives a new speech, you know, every kid gets a laptop or whatever, get, you know, half the places don't have electricity. That was the last platform. The last platform was every kid will have a laptop. Well, with what electricity, sir? But the people bought it, right? Whatever. Right. For that time period, you know, that's he was the one, right? But now, after this tragedy that has taken place, that as you know, this assassination has, you know, as one individual put it, you know, challenged, you know, the nationalism, right? Challenged the nation, challenged the institutions within this country, in such an aggressive manner. The comeback, nobody knows what this comeback is going to look like. But let's just say we have an individual. Let's say it's not Sweet Mickey. Let's say somebody else gets, you know, put into power. And yes, they have to, in a sense, somehow prove themselves. The skepticism is that, well, yeah, that's great. But again, we're still dealing with the same like 11 families that own everything that are blocking, you know, the Tetguin, as they call it, the nappy heads, the black people, right? The blacks, from doing anything, from being real entrepreneurs, like to having profitable businesses. How does that work? And so I think when I hear people from, you know, the diaspora talk about, you know, their hesitancy in, you know, investing in building or whatever in Haiti, it's like, it's the same issue that I think a lot of us who have dealt with nonprofits in Haiti, you know, have come across, right? It's that bureaucracy. You keep hitting the bureaucracy, right? It keeps becoming like a barrier to a lot of people. So now, with the country being in the state that it is now, the state of uncertainty, and I would say, in a sense, it's unsafe for many, right? It's unsafe for the people who live there currently, who have no idea what tomorrow is going to look like with all the protests that are planned and all this other stuff. So now, people in the diaspora are looking through this lens, like, why would I ever, right? But I guess what I would want you to comment, because you are one of those people who are successfully, in a sense, doing business in Haiti, right? To an extent, right?
Well, no, 100%.
If you could just elaborate then on, like, I guess what I mean, I know your advice is to do it, but is there a little more that you can give so that people can feel like, okay, this is actually doable?
Sure. Well, I mean, you know, before anything, right? It's relationship based, and that's the U.S. wherever it is, right? So you can't just wake up tomorrow and decide you're going to go do business in Haiti. It's not going to work, right? I think, you know, you have to build relationships. We've been in Haiti since 2009, and before 2009, when it became officially Haitian American Caucus, we were, you know, my co-founder's dad was running, you know, he initially founded the school in 2003. So you got to imagine the amount of relationships that were built in order for our school to have been successful with government, with private industry, with all those different folks. So anybody who wants to do business in Haiti or invest in Haiti, the first, I would say the first 2 years is about building relationships, ensuring that people who are in charge of everything, maybe it's the families, whoever, they know who you are, they trust you, and there's an opportunity for you to succeed. We can't go as Americans with this American mindset into Haiti and thinking that it's the same thing. Every country is different. Mexico doesn't operate the way the U.S. operates, right? Jamaica doesn't operate the way Haiti, Cuba, DR. You get what I mean, mm-hmm. right? So I think the first step is for the Haitian diaspora to stop thinking that Haiti is the U.S. It is not the U.S., right? The United States is a full democracy or whatever, right? And Haiti is a fraction of that, right? So I think the first step is understanding that in order to change the future, you have to understand and respect the past. This is a country that went 40, 50 years with a dictator, right? Mm-hmm. It's not, you can't just over, and that's almost two generations of people, of humans. And one of those generations was the baby boomers, right? Of humans that are accustomed to dictatorship.
Yeah.
Right. So you can't just come out of nowhere. You're an American. You have a bachelor's, a master's, a law degree. And now you're coming into Haiti thinking that, oh, well, I'm smart and I'm going to come into it. It doesn't work that way. So the first 2 years is all about research and building relationships before you can even begin. And watch this. What if somebody from Haiti came to America talking about they want to open a Louis Masquiti business right here in the middle of thing? How would you feel? Right. They don't want to get an LLC. Right. They don't want to get a business banking account. They just want to start selling Louis Masquiti on 14th Street with no license, nothing, right? We would feel away. So I think the diaspora has to look at that. That's step one. Number two, I think the diaspora has to also, we have to stop being imperialist. And I'm using that word very, very strategically because that's exactly what we are. I listen to us, you know, diaspora talk about Haiti like we're better than Haiti. Right? Mm-hmm. No. Your country, the United States of America, do we want to talk about what your country does to other countries around the world? Uh-oh. Your perfect little United States of America that buys islands, buys countries. How do you buy a country? That's a little weird, no? Mm. That's causing wars and drama in the Middle East. Let's keep this out, right?
Yeah.
Let's leave that alone. Right. So before we have this imperialistic posture about what's happening in Haiti as Haitian Americans, maybe we need to start looking at what we've been doing as Americans all over the world, right? And maybe we are the big brother, right? That's causing havoc all over the world for all those little countries. So and we need to get our stuff together before we start pointing fingers. So those are the top two things that I would say. I mean, look, the country is resilient. We're the first republic to gain our independence. We beat Napoleon Bonaparte and his army, right? Like, Haiti's going to come back. It's very unfortunate what occurred to the president. It's really sad. Makes me sad. However, there will be a new president. That new president's going to come in. He's going to do, or she's going to do whatever they have to do. And then there's going to be a new president, a new president, a new president. The country's not going out of business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think everything that you said was definitely on point. I think that a lot of times we as the diaspora, and not even just coming from the U.S., right, from Canada, from Paris, from all over the world, everywhere that's but Haiti, I think does have this complex in a sense that we do think, you know, we're better. And I remember having this conversation on a panel that I was on, you know, even from the little things, you know, we send our expired medication.
Right.
We send right. clothes that we wouldn't dare put our children in here, you know? So it's like, right. These are some of the little things that I think we subconsciously, because maybe we're not even, I'm pretty sure a lot of people don't stop to think about it when they do it. But it's those little things that we do subconsciously that kind of, you know, builds up this I guess this imperialistic, you know, stance that we take toward the country. And in order for us to really work in the country successfully, you know, you kind of have to drop that chip So I think that that's definitely a really good point, you know, for anybody who is wondering, you know, how can they get involved? Because unfortunately, tragedies like this, whether it's disaster relief, whether it's, you know, I mean, this is the first I've ever experienced something like this, but it's a tragedy nonetheless. It sparks up this fire, right, in Haitians all across the world to want to be active, to want to do something, to want to say something. But then the unfortunate part is, you know, once the catalyst, right, once that once we've reached it, and once, you know, the situation subsides, then everybody subsides as well too. The hype is kind of like gone. The fire is subsided. So. I think that, but I think that for those who are truly serious about getting involved in Haiti, yes, it's important, you know, to change the mindset, but I think that, you know, the education piece is really important as well. You know, what is the history, you know, what are the politics, even though the politics are very, very complicated and layered, right? But there are a lot of things that I think that people don't do that they should do. If you're talking about wanting to invest in Haiti, if you're talking about wanting to be more acclimated with the country of your parents, you know, maybe you should pick up a book, right? Or do a little research on, you know, on the, you know, about the island, right? About Haiti, about its political past, its histories, right? And things of that nature.
No, 100%. And I think that, you know, it's important. It's important. Like, it's and not just Haiti's history, but the U.S.'s history too, and the U.S.'s relationship to Haiti, right? And what that looks like, and what business dealings happen there, right? Mm-hmm. And how that was, what business dealings does the U.S. have with Haiti, even during